So I will call this meeting to order. Could we begin with reading of the roll call?
Hugh Gibbons.
Here.
Bill Doggins.
Here.
David Hess. Betsy Pringle.
Here.
James Nickel.
Here.
Elsie Weber.
Here.
Rick Whitney.
Here. Okay. First item is reading and approval of minutes, a couple meetings worth of minutes.
I move we dispense with the reading of the minutes.
Second.
Moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. So we had a chance to review them. Does anybody have any? Let's start with the March 27th minutes. Any additions or corrections? Jim?
No.
I would point out, I think on the first page under unfinished business, it says staff clarified that, or chair wants a landscaping plan to mitigate the reduced front yard setback. Staff clarified that the project Mr. Gibbons refers to, and the implication there is that Mr. Gibbons is the chair, I think, the way it reads. And I don't know if, I think we were all both talking about that. I think I was the one that suggested that Kirkland Avenue and 6th.
Yeah, I think I made that comment.
Okay.
So should.
Yeah, I see that.
Does that read okay, the way it is?
Yeah.
Okay, good enough. Then let's, I would entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
Move to be approved.
Second it.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Minutes of April 24th.
I have a question on the April 24th minutes.
Okay.
I wasn't here because I was absent, but my understanding was that if you look at the March 27th minutes, it says David Hess is going to be missing for the next two meetings, but they show him as present April 24th.
He actually did show up.
Oh.
Even though he told us he wasn't going to be here. That's a good observation.
Yeah. Okay, and then I have another correction because I wasn't at that meeting. But if you look on page 2, it says that it was moved by Mr. Nickel and seconded by Ms. Pringle. Well, I know I wasn't here.
That would be a very good get.
Yeah, so that needs to be changed to someone else. And also number 11 where it says I motion for an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It was the spirit of you.
You were pretty active that night.
I was very active. But you also got me excused. I mean, it's correct on the very item number 1. And it's all in order.
Mm.
Well, should we attribute that to Dave Hess? He's usually good at moving that we adjourn the meeting. You want to, does that work for you guys?
I don't know. Is that you, Bill?
Or was it Bill?
You could put me.
Okay.
I think it was perhaps Mr. Goggins.
Who was the other motion?
All right. So,
German.
The homeless encampment zoning code amendments, item 8, and then the adjournment. Both of those have Mr. Nickel making the motion.
I think I did that. Homeless encampment.
Oh.
Yeah?
Ms. Weber?
You think that she mistook your voice from Jim's voice?
I think that was me.
I would say the chances are, Elsie, that unless you really want it.
No, I don't care.
Okay, let's. Is it okay if we put in Mr. Goggins instead of Mr. Nickel for that?
Sure.
That was my recollection, too, for what it's worth.
That works. Okay. So, any other additions or corrections? Okay, but how about a motion to approve the minutes with those corrections?
So move with the corrections.
Second. Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. The announcement of the agenda is next, which consists of council member reports and comments, work program review, requests from the audience, and then unfinished business is final action on the Hindle Roadie reasonable use permit. And under new business, we've got public participation plan for the Shoreline Master Program update and administrative reports and community council discussion. It's our agenda. Do we have any council member reports or comments? I've Elsie, you look like the cat that swallowed the canary. Jim has told me that for a variety of personal reasons, he's not going to be able to commit to attending meetings after June. So we need to plan for a replacement, a plan for getting a replacement for Jim starting in July. I did everything in my persuasive powers to convince him otherwise, but he's not going to, if he's not going to be around, it just doesn't make sense to force him.
I apologize for giving a kind of short notice, although I did mention to the chair previously before I left town that due to a variety of personal reasons, I'll be unable to attend, and I just think it wouldn't be fair for me to sit on the board and knowing that I'm not going to be here at various times. So
we will have to have a big party to say goodbye to Jim.
No, you don't need a party. I wasn't long in this chair as my predecessor.
Nancy, I guess process would be you guys would put out a notice and solicit potential replacements, and then we would interview them. And
speaking for Kathy Anderson, the city clerk, I think she would like a letter from Mr. Nickel about your plans, and then she would proceed to put out a notice in the paper.
Okay.
A letter to the city clerk?
That's fine.
Will he be here for the marina hearing?
Pardon?
Will he be here for the marina hearing?
Yeah, you will be here for the marina hearing, right?
And will you be here through,
coming up in June?
Through June.
Yeah.
All right, great.
Yeah. Any other council members' discussion?
Anybody else quitting?
You better not. Don't get any ideas, you. Okay. Nancy, anything on work program review that we need to discuss?
Not tonight.
Okay, good. At this point, we have an opportunity for members of the audience to speak to the council on any topic that would be of interest. If you would like to address us for up to 5 minutes, we would welcome your input. If not, we'll just continue with our meeting. Anybody have something to say?
Yes, I'm interested in knowing what input the council will have in the community block set up.
Okay, sir.
What you will have in that?
If you would just come to the microphone, because the meeting's recorded, and so we need to. That's the only way to be sure that you're. So, and you need to just state your name and your address, and then what your question is or your comment.
Well, I was known in this chamber, sitting where you are, D.V. Hurst, in Sandhurst, 4115 106 Place Northeast. And I'm interested in knowing what input you will have with reference to the block grant program. It's for Houghton this time, $25,000. And I'd like to register the thought that security or the like and convenience should take precedence over benches and art.
Okay.
But maybe I can hear a response as to what input the council will have in that.
I think I can speak to that.
Go ahead.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is something that the city does through the neighborhoods, and everyone in the Houghton neighborhood gets to vote. We don't have anything to do with that. If it was a land use issue, it would come before us, but none of these are. So we don't have any more jurisdiction than any other citizen. We would just vote for what we wanted.
Well, I understand the process of the neighborhood arrangement, but I didn't know that the community council would have no input on that. It seems strange to me.
Well, our authority is specified as being land use and zoning. That's our only authority. We can make recommendations. Our authority is limited to land use and zoning.
And the process that's been set up by the city is very clear, that it's not to be influenced by or determined by us in any way. It's just based on a vote of the citizens within the neighborhood. So I would be lobbying your neighbors and getting them to vote to that.
Yeah. That.
Okay. And start walking the other streets in the neighborhood, I guess. But we can't exert any more influence than you can.
I thought you might have some input on that.
Mm-hmm. No. I think you'll notice that a lot of the projects on that list are lighting, because people are concerned about safety, about being seen on the sidewalks and being seen. And so I think that's why you see the prevalence of lights here and lights there. And so I think that tells that it's a big concern for people in Houghton, because these are what the citizens generated as their ideas of what they wanted. So.
Okay, well, I'll leave it at that for now.
Thank you.
Good luck.
But if you have something that you want to see, when this comes up again, it comes up every 2 or 3 years, that Houghton will get this $25,000 grant, and so you can put in your idea.
Well, I have provided input. I met with a city official out in South 108th Street. There's a area there where a crosswalk is not easily seen when you're approaching it. You can see the sign, but you don't see the people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And from both directions.
Yep.
And secondly, the ingress egress into Sandhurst is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
With the way people have bypassed 405 now and are using 108th as the shortcut, traffic during peak times is very difficult, and it becomes dangerous. People
yep.
wanting to shoot out to get into the line of traffic.
Yeah.
And the pattern of islands and stops where you can rest and wait to get into needs to be studied very, very carefully. That, to me, is land use.
I'll leave it at that.
It could get into that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. We have no hearings, so we move to action on the Hindle Rhody reasonable use permit. Everybody's had a chance, I presume, to read the hearing examiner's report and recommendation, which they incorporated our recommendation into it. Nancy, do you have anything else to add to our deliberation?
Not really. There's a resolution in front of you to be signed if you approve the action of the city council and the hearing examiner.
I just wanted on record that I wasn't here for that public hearing, so I won't be voting on this one. So.
Neither was I.
Okay. Has there been any challenges to the decision of the hearing examiner?
No.
Okay.
I move we approve resolution 2006-5.
Second it.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Just one comment, too. I circled on this memorandum from Eric to the chair of the Houghton Community Council. Apparently he's got Hugh Gibbons' name on there. They need to change that, Mr. Whitney.
Nancy, could you make sure that Eric knows that the chair is no longer Hugh Gibbons?
Will do.
Thank you.
The king is
our apologies.
The king.
not that it really bothers me. My ego is pretty secure with it. Okay. Next item is under new business, public participation plan for Kirkland Shoreline Master Program update. We have, okay, Patrice. Moving too fast for you.
No, you're doing great. Well, good evening, and I'm Patrice Tovar. I'm the project manager for the city's update to the Shoreline Master Program. And so this evening, what I'd like to do is just introduce the basics of what this update will mean, and then also to provide a quick briefing about the plan that has been designed for public involvement in the project. So just a few words of explanation about the project. The state's Shoreline Management Act is implemented through locally written and adopted shoreline master programs. And most of the master programs, including Kirkland's, were adopted in the mid-1970s, quite a while ago. And they contain goals and policies and development regulations that mirror the ones in the state's Shoreline Management Act. In Kirkland, these apply within 200 feet of the Lake Washington shoreline and in the two wetlands that are associated with it, in Juanita Bay and then down in Yarrow Bay. In 2003, our state legislature updated the requirements of the Shoreline Master Programs, and now local governments need to revise all of theirs to be compliant with their new guidelines. And fortunately, Kirkland received a grant from the State Department of Ecology that will help fund the update, and we're also benefiting from the experiences of the other jurisdictions that started on this process within the last few years and are all still going through this process. But there have been a lot of lessons learned, so I'm in close coordination with them, and hopefully that'll help to streamline our process. Even so, it's going to be challenging to meet the June 2007 deadline for use of the grant money, and so the project schedule is extremely ambitious to try to make sure we meet that deadline. And Nancy has charts that show the project schedule that might make this a little easier to see at a glance what we're looking at for the next year and a half. For now, just the schedule, please. Actually, Nancy, let's save you a trip. Sure. Both would be fine. But we're going to focus on the chart just for a few minutes to start. Basically, during this year, we're homing in on two main topics. One is science, and the other is public participation. And in terms of the public participation, you'll see on the chart that we're actually at the beginning of 2007. We're going to start our usual amendment process, which will include the study sessions and public hearings and so forth with the Houghton Community Council and the Planning Commission. And but before we start that in January, I wanted to hold a couple of events next fall that should lay the groundwork to make that whole amendment process go more smoothly. That's my hope. So if you look at tasks 4A through 4C, those are the steps that we have been going through as far as public participation, and the final one being the implementation of the plan, and that's already beginning to get underway. The second sheet that Nancy just handed out details the events, some of the events that have been planned for this coming fall. And the first one, so this is the one that says save the dates at the top. The first one will be a forum, and it will be aimed towards anyone who has potential interest in the whole topic of the Lake Washington waterfront in Kirkland and in Kirkland's potential annexation area. So we hope and expect it to be attended by a lot of folks, and it's meant to lay the groundwork to educate everyone, bring everybody up to about the same level of understanding of what the issues are and the facts and what will be entailed in this update. And so to that end, we're trying to make this fun and easy to attend. To make it easy to attend, we are offering it on a Saturday morning and also on a weekday evening. And to make it fun, we've been hunting up expert speakers who are also entertaining enjoyable speakers so that, you know, this will not be dry. And we'll also include opportunities for the audience to ask questions, give their comments, and I think that we'll be able to also break into small group discussions, and that worked really well years ago when we started the Critical Areas Educational Foundation, and I'm hoping to do that here as well. So we'll also videotape it and rebroadcast it on the cable TV channels for anyone who isn't able to come to either one. And then on the Saturday morning forum, that September 30th date, in the afternoon we're going to offer a tour by bus to go to various locations in the area to look at on-the-ground examples of what were spoken about and they saw pictures of in the morning. So anyone who wants to do that extra step of actually going out and looking at it in the field will be welcome to do that. And then another different thing that we're getting together this summer is a map that will be a self-guided shoreline tour. A lot of the property owners along here and many other folks have their own boats and enjoy going out on the water, and this seemed like a really good way to also sort of get the education out there on what's being involved in this and what the state is looking for. So that's kind of a quick summary of those events. What's not on that sheet is that there also is an event about a month later that's aimed at the stakeholders to come back and react to a number of alternatives for meeting the requirements of this new Shoreline Master Program and weigh in on their preferences. And by recording their reactions to these things, I think we'll have everything we need to then start in January with pretty good sense of where are the parameters for this, what's involved, and what does the public think. So that's the plan for that. Also on that chart, I mentioned that the other main focus this year was going to be the science, and that has been ongoing for the last couple months and is still going on. And those are tasks, 5 through 9, if you look in the left column of that chart. So there's a number of requirements that the state has for the scientific foundation for this, and we've just about completed the inventory of the shorelines, and again, we're addressing the potential annexation area north of the Kirkland shoreline as well as the current shoreline. And then an analysis is being written right now. We have a really solid consultant who's been working with the state a lot on these things, and they seem to be doing a really good job. So that's what's happening this year and what we're aiming towards for next year. And let's see, a first step this year, just backtracking a moment, was drafting the public participation plan that was part of your packet. And the challenge was to meet the project schedule, yet try to have really effective opportunities to get as much public involvement as possible on this. The Planning Commission was briefed on this recently, and they had a couple minor suggestions that you might have seen as underlines and strike-throughs, and I can go over those if you want. The City Council was also recently briefed. They didn't have any additional suggestions for it. They seemed to be pleased with it. And so this concludes the overview, and I welcome any questions or comments you might have on this.
Teresa, you're off to a great start. You always do a wonderful job, and you are already the maps and the information.
That's really nice to hear. I'll try to earn that on this as well.
Any other questions?
No, I was really pleased at how much public participation that you're going to be offering and all the different avenues, and it looks like you're going to do absolutely everything you can to educate everybody and get their input and craft something that's going to be challenging, I'm sure. Are regulations being handed down from above on this as well? I mean, aren't there?
That's a great point. I have been researching over the past couple of months to figure out how many of these things are prescribed, like you're saying, and how much leeway does the city have in tailoring these towards the city's own interests, goals. And I've had a lot of conversations with state officials on this, and I think the challenge is going to be that there is, it's mostly there is a lot of leeway, because, but what it has to do is meet a long set of guidelines, pages and pages and pages of guidelines that are not very specific, sort of goal-oriented, about making sure that future development is mitigated so we don't lose the level of healthiness we have on our shoreline right now, and to propose ways on how we might improve the shoreline in the future. There's not a lot of specifics there, and unfortunately, none of the jurisdictions that have been working with the state for the last 5 years have gotten theirs approved yet. So we don't even know exactly where the goalposts are. But there is one jurisdiction, which is Port Townsend, that is very close. Even the Department of Ecology says they're very close to having this finished and adopted. Okay. So I've been in close contact with them and been looking over their products to see what's passing muster. Muster.
Yeah. Well, is this going to have any impact? I mean, I would imagine that it would as Houghton starts crafting its neighborhood plan for the comprehensive plan. We're due to come up and start that, and it seems like what you are going to be doing is definitely going to be part of what we need to be looking at.
Right, absolutely. You're certainly through the first half of 2007, I'll be coming to you often, and then back at the end of 2007, where we hope to have it locally adopted, then we'll be coming back to you and seeing. But I'm hoping, you know, we'll be working in close contact all the way along so that everyone's concerns are addressed as we go. And but also I'll be coordinating with whatever staff member is working on the neighborhood plan to make sure there's consistency, and I'm hearing what is being said about that as well.
Right. Okay. Great.
I have just a curiosity question. How often do we have to do this?
Well, the last time was in the mid-70s.
I know, the state tells me, basically.
So, it's been 30 years. But I believe the state rule now is asking for updates that are closer to, I think, 7 to 10 year updates. To match the required comprehensive plan update cycle. And certainly we always have to be consistent through all these documents, so it may be that we'll have some tweaks, updates to make in another couple years.
Are we going to have ways of monitoring, whether or not we're making any beneficial results or we're having any detrimental results? Is there going to be something built into that?
Yeah, I believe there will be. I've been working with the larger watershed that Lake Washington is part of on the salmon recovery efforts, the WIRA 8 efforts. And a lot of what's shifted in the Shoreline Master Program requirements have to do with making things a little bit more fish-friendly. So when people go to replace their docks or they want to do something with the bulkhead on the lake, the agencies, the federal and state agencies, are requiring that they look at means to make these a little more fish-friendly than they are now. And there's been so much study done over the past 6 years now about what works and what doesn't work. And at the same time, there are a number of groups that are constantly monitoring. So as far as those aspects go, we'll definitely have a lot of feedback on what is working and what's not. And those really are the main changes I think we'll be looking at.
You think it might be a little bit controversial with some of the people that own docks on the shoreline?
Well, I'm anticipating that there will be some alarm with those people when they hear that the rules, we're looking at changing these things. And that's one reason why I really wanted to do a good job with the public participation, because I think there's an opportunity to share information and receive information from those folks that will help diffuse rumors that go around about the extent of what will be required. We're still going to be working within the state, well, actually the federal requirements, that there is limits to when we will try to make these things happen. Most of our shoreline is already developed. So the changes will only come about if someone is so profoundly redeveloping their property that it rises to the level of something that we can ask them to make some changes with their bulkheads. For instance, maybe taking part of that and making it a little gradual sandy beach area with some vegetation. That's all the fish need here and there along the shoreline to give enough hiding places so they're not picked off by the larger fish. So just I think it doesn't need to be alarming if it's presented right. It can be an opportunity.
Thanks, Patrice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any other new business that we should be discussing tonight?
I have just two short, tiny things.
Okay.
My neighbor came to me on the street, and she was concerned that if the city has a emergency plan for something catastrophic. So, for example, like she said, terrorist attack, biochemical type of something. She was concerned that the people in Kirkland don't know what to do, where to go, where to turn. Is there a number to call? Are they supposed to stay in their houses? Is there a shelter they're supposed to go to? And she came down, I guess, and tried to talk to someone here at the fire department and didn't really feel like there was a specific thing she came away with and said, well, I pay taxes and I think the city should have a plan and should mail it to everyone so they have it on their refrigerator. Maybe it's a refrigerator magnet or something that says, you know, in case of a catastrophic disaster, stay put, or you know, or these are the evacuation routes, or you know, or what to do, because people don't know what to do, and that's certainly an opportunity for the neighborhood associations to get involved with canvassing their neighborhoods, with doing their own little mini censuses and see, you know, who are the elders, who are the invalids, who are people that may need special attention, you know, during that sort of thing. But citywide, she was just saying, I wouldn't know what to do if something happened tomorrow. And I said, well, good point. I wouldn't know what to do either.
I think some of that comes under the county, as far as the county has an emergency preparedness directives that they're overall responsible for that. And I think local law enforcement and the fire department, depending on the situation, you know, if it's a toxic cloud that's floating over from Boeing's or from someplace like
right.
that or some industrial site, I think that the county would be the agency that's probably responsible for a lot of that. And it just depends what it is. If it's a fire or toxic cloud or whatever, it can't be defined, I don't think, like you can, like in Florida or the Gulf states,
yeah.
where there's evacuation routes
mm-hmm.
that people go when you know the storm's going to hit, because usually they have knowledge in advance that's predicted to hit at a certain point.
And they know the storm's going to be coming from here.
Right, right. And they already have it posted with big signs, the evacuation
yeah.
route, but it's just not possible, I don't think, here, because there's so many variables that are in it.
Well, even as, you know, she was saying, even if it was just like, don't call the city, or, you know, do call the, you know, in case of an emergency like that, do you not call 911 because you're going to flood 911, or do you?
Well, if she's the first one to know there's a disaster, I think she should call 911 and let the appropriate authorities give direction at that point, because whatever the disaster is, I don't think, well, in our general vicinity here, we're not going to have floods. We might have by the rivers and things like that, but around this particular area, I think maybe an earthquake. You know, but it depends where the earthquake is going to be. I think the fault line is right by the 520 bridge or something like that. So,
so basically, there's nothing that the city can.
I'm speaking from a former law enforcement position. That I mean, we've had situations in the past like earthquakes, toxic clouds, possible large cache of like dynamite or something like that. And what they do is they evacuate the people from that potential area to a certain radius, and they move everybody out. But the law enforcement or the county would come in and more or less give directions at that point. But I don't know if something, Nancy maybe has a better answer from the city's perspective. I don't know.
Yeah, in the fire department, the fire chief and the deputy fire chief are working on an emergency preparedness plan, and there always has been one in the city, involving the city staff, all the departments, and the coordination if there were a major event in the city. So there is such a plan in place, and there is a room in City Hall designated as Command Central and so forth and so on. If you'd like, I could do a couple things. I could ask the people in the fire department who know the most about that. I could ask one of them to call your friend, or I could have some sort of report back to you about what is in place, whichever you prefer. We could do both if it's of interest to the whole council.
What's the council's pleasure?
Oh, good idea.
Hugh's in for it. Bill? Jim? Well, you won't be here after June, so I guess you're
not to worry. I know.
Elsie, would be interested?
Yeah, sir.
Okay.
As I recall,
I think it just kind of let us.
Don't make a big deal out of it, but if you could just give us a.
I mean, it's comforting for me to know that there's a war room or whatever here that you guys have a plan, have some plan, you know.
There are plans in place.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to give me the name of the person after the meeting, you may. I believe that your next meeting, June 19th, is the special hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's fine.
The 26th, is that how it ended up? The 26th is your regular meeting.
Just canceled, and we have the 27th.
Oh, no, we did it just the opposite. Sorry. June 19th will be your
regular
meeting, and the 26th is a hearing, and potentially the 27th. Or 27th and
29th.
27th and 29th are the hearing.
Yeah.
Okay. So possibly something on this on June 19th or July.
Okay, thank you.
Whatever we can do.
I know, Nancy, I'll bet you that there's a lot of people in Kirkland that don't know. Maybe the Kirkland Utilities would be nice to put out a little blip in the that comes with the water bill. That people could look at and say, hey, that's nice. The city's got this
in control.
They've got a room downstairs, and we'll be safe, you know. There's somebody who's going to make plans, you know.
Okay.
Just suggesting.
And did you have anything else, Betsy?
Well, let's see. I know you. Yeah. I did bring in some photos of what I consider a mega house for them to look at with this FAR
floor area ratio
study, because I would like to know if this would be within the FAR and all of that.
Okay.
And then also we received the SEPA DNS for the
marina.
For the floor area ratios.
Yeah.
And I was just somewhat under number 10 aesthetics, it just says that the proposal is intended to reduce and control aesthetic impacts of new single family residential development on adjacent residential development by ensuring that new or expanded residences are in scale with their surroundings. And that seems a little lofty to me. I don't I'm not sure they can ensure that they're going to be in scale, because this FAR doesn't seem to me like they're changing it very much. And so I don't know. We don't have anything to say about it. But I just wanted to make a note of that. I don't think this is going to ensure that it's in scale with the house, the little house next door.
If you'd like to give me those photos, I can, or if anyone has photos, I can pass them on to Mike Bergstrom.
I think it's probably the same house here.
Excuse me?
I brought a packet down for Mike.
Did you?
Do you know if he got him?
I imagine he did. I haven't spoken with him.
Okay. Anything else? Just for the record, that probably would have fit under council member reports rather than a new business, but that's just for the record.
Oh.
Yes.
Under administrative reports?
Okay.
Just commenting, you are all aware that the new recording system is in use.
Yes.
And because of that, the minutes will be slightly more abbreviated than you have seen in the past, and that's what we're consistently doing with all of the groups. The reason is that if anyone ever wants to, they can go online and listen to a meeting versus having to read the minutes, and you can actually hear what is said. So for that reason, the minutes of meetings are now going to be slightly more abbreviated than you have been used to.
I hope it's not as abbreviated as the city council.
Okay.
You know, I concur with Hugh's observations, because I think that most people aren't going to want to go online and listen audio. They're going to want to be able to see something, be able to quickly look through, and then, hey, if there's something in there that they want to focus in on, then they'll go listen to it. But to have to listen through an entire meeting to get...
Yeah. I want to encourage you to let us show you an example of the minutes first, and then let's look at that and see how that works for you. And also, if you have an opportunity to go online and... You don't have to listen to the whole meeting. You can click directly to an agenda item, and it's really neat.
Okay.
If you've never done it, it is very neat.
All right. So. Anything else?
I move we adjourn the meeting.
Okay, it's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and second, we adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Meeting adjourned.
I would also like to fellow council members.
Remember, it's still recording.
I know. I was just going to say that everything we say now is still being recorded. So.
Well, she can shut it off, I believe. It's off.